Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Veg Grower Podcast. My name is Richard and I want to inspire and encourage more people to grow their own food. And I do this by doing exactly that in my own garden and my own allotment. This week it is National Gardening Week. National Gardening Week is run by the RHS and it's been running since 2012. It is a chance for us all to celebrate our gardening adventures. So I thought this week that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to celebrate National Gardening Week by spending a bit of time on the allotment and a bit of time in the garden. So let's head on down to the allotment and get this celebration started. Well, I thought I would start off National Gardening Week with an update from the allotment. And I'm down here at the moment. Now, over the weekend, I've got to say, we've had this really heavy downpour of rain. I came to the allotment Saturday morning to tackle a few jobs that I'll get into in a moment. And I noticed the ground was just starting to look a little bit dry. We had, in areas, some large cracks in the ground, which does happen when our ground here gets dry. Clay soil and all that. The heavy downpour of rain has actually got rid of all those cracks. It's soaked into the ground quite nicely, I have to admit. Now, the last couple of weeks, we have had a fair amount of dry weather, it has to be said. But after months and months of wet, rainy weather, to get a little bit of rain over the weekend was quite nice. But down on the allotment, yeah, we have been making some real progress. At the moment, it's all a case that we need to get the allotment ready for planting. We've got hundreds of plants that are waiting to be planted out. They are in the starting block, if you like. It's just a little bit too early to get them outside. What we tend to do, wait for the risk of frost to pass. So you can go online and find out in your local area when, on average, your last frost day is. For me, it's around the 28th of April. So now. Then we normally add a couple of weeks onto that, so we're looking about mid-May before we know it is safe to start planting out our plants. These could be tomatoes, peppers, even our brassicas and all those seedlings that we've been carefully nurturing over the last couple of months to get them ready to go in the ground. But to make sure the allotment is ready to receive these plants, it has been a case of just trying to make sure that all the beds are completely weeded or as weeded as well as we can get them. Plenty of mulch in the form of compost added down as well. If we haven't had enough compost, I've also used some wood chipping areas as well, which seems to be doing quite good too. And added to that, what I've also done is I've erected my hazel sticks to make our tripods and our wigwams ready for our beans. What this means is this allotment is now just literally on the edge for getting lots of plants in the ground. That being said, we still do have plenty of plants that are in the ground. Our overwintered onions are looking pretty damn good actually. They seem to be swelling quite nicely at the base, so that's a good sign. The garlic is also looking pretty good too. We are getting some signs of rust, these little red spots on the leaves, which is a little bit annoying, but given the humidity, I'm not surprised in some ways. There's nothing we can really do about rust. We could cut off leaves to stop the infection, but I don't think that is really going to make any difference. We just have to live with it. Let's hope it doesn't affect the bulbs too much. Moving on further down to the broad beans. They are in flower. Some of the flowers have actually gone over and passed their best. So I reckon soon we're going to be getting some broad beans out of this bed as well, which would be great. I do like a good broad bean. My wife isn't keen on them, but I do like them. That leaves us several beds on the top of the allotment that are just waiting for more plants. So we're going to have sweet corn and various other things going in these beds here as well, including the hugel culture bed. Moving down to the bottom half, we're getting rhubarb at the moment, plenty of rhubarb because that is really big and plenty of it. So we're enjoying those. We're having rhubarb crumbles and even the rhubarb barbecue sauce that Scott gave us a few weeks ago. Asparagus, the asparagus is actually doing not great this year, I have to say. We've had a couple of pickings of asparagus, but not the best asparagus I've ever had. What is noticeable is the asparagus that has been mulched with seaweed definitely is better than what hasn't been mulched. It's a bit of an experiment I set up. Mulching with seaweed seems to make quite a big difference. So, yeah, we are getting asparagus, but it's not the best, but I'm not the only person that has had trouble with asparagus. We've got a few leeks left to pick, and we will pick those at some point. These were sown last year, but they're doing great. We've got to eat those. Potatoes are up, so we're starting to mulch those with some grass clippings when we cut the lawn as well. This is just something I do to try and mulch our potatoes to try and ensure that we get good, decent potatoes. We've got cabbages and cauliflowers in here, and they have been bitten by pigeons and things, but I've been spraying them with some stuff that deters the pigeons, which now does seem to be working slowly. It's just a little bit of a problem to try and get them to the point that they are clear, but we're getting there. We are getting there, and we are slowly winning that battle. In the greenhouses, we've got Uncle Tim's greenhouse, which isn't fully glazed at the moment. We've got plenty of onions and chard and celeriac and broccoli just sitting on a shelf waiting to be planted out. They are being hardened off, if you like. I'm just giving them, probably get them in next weekend, I reckon. And then in Grandad's greenhouse, the original greenhouse that is fully glazed, we've got cucumbers, we've got peppers and chilies. That is all going to be planted up over the course of this week as well. So that greenhouse will be in use. This greenhouse is mostly going to be for growing cucumbers this year, so the peppers will go in somewhere else. They're just in there for the time being. In terms of carrots and some of the carrot beds outside, I'm not seeing any signs of the carrots, so we're going to have to re-sow those, and no signs of the parsnips in the other bed just yet, but I'm sure they will come along in the not too distant future. In the terms of our fruit bushes and trees, the gooseberry bushes are, well, now I've cleared out the weeds underneath those, they're looking much, much better. We've got to spend a bit of time tidying them up and just waiting to see if we get any fruits on those. The pear tree, that was in a beautiful flowers a few weeks ago, and I can see we've got quite a few pear fruitlets, so hopefully they're going to develop into some good pears. The apple tree I moved, we can see that is starting to bud, so that is looking pretty good and looks like it's going to survive. I've got another apple tree that has got full of these pink flowers, so that seems to be doing quite well at the moment as well. Basically, the allotment I feel is looking fantastic, and I'm very, very happy with just how it is looking, how I feel it is ready. Now, I mentioned about my hazel sticks earlier, and I'm going to be using those for growing beans. One thing I noticed as I enter my allotment, I always try and look around and see what anybody else in my allotment is doing. This gives me a good idea if it's the right time to start planting out some of our plants. And at the moment, nobody else seems to be planting out any beans or sweet corn, which I normally find many people do by now. But there was one person I saw, I had a chat with him the other day, and he had stuck his beans out. These were his runner beans, and I was quite surprised at that because I think it is slightly too early, especially considering I feel that it's still pretty cold this year. Well, I had a chat with him. It turned out that he was putting his beans out because he's going away for a couple of weeks and just wanted to get them in the ground so that they were taken care of while he was away. If he did say there was a good chance that they may come back and they won't survive, but I don't know. I'm going to be keeping a close eye on that and working out whether it's going to be time to start getting my beans out as well. Right, I think it's now time to head on home and see what is happening in the vegetable garden. Well, I hope you're enjoying this week's podcast. If you are, then perhaps you'll be good enough to leave a rating and review on your podcast provider. It only takes you a few seconds to do, but it really does help get us found by more people who might be interested in growing their own food. And as always, we have had a couple of comments come in over this last week. On Spotify, Lynn says, the recipe this week is absolutely delicious. Didn't have ham, but used smoked salmon instead. The asparagus seedlings I've just potted up produced me lots of asparagus so I can cook it lots. Fantastic. And also on Spotify, Richard Scott says, fantastic podcast. Richard is so knowledgeable and gives lots of handy tips for us newbies. Well, that is the aim. I really do want to encourage more people to grow their own food. Over on YouTube, a Stephen said, very informative and pleasure to listen to. Thank you so much for listening as well. Always a pleasure to hear back from you. Like I say, please do rate and review. It only takes a few seconds, but it really helps get the algorithms working. Now, added to that, if you want to help support this podcast, keep the wheels running, then please consider becoming a member of our Supporters Club. The Supporters Club is a club I have set up, and members get extra behind-the-scenes podcasts that share with you a bit more of what I'm up to here at the VegGrower Podcast HQ. Added to that, each month I also send out a pack. That pack contains our mini newspaper that goes out once a month, as well as a collection of seeds that you can sow in that very month. It's very much designed to encourage more people to grow their own food. And I charge just £5 a month for that. If you want to find out more and sign up, then please head to theveggrowpodcast.co.uk. Now, over this last week, we have been sowing French beans from this pack. That's just one set of the seeds I sent out in April. And soon, we're sending out maize. Now, it's time to find out what's going on out in the garden. Well, I'm out here in the garden this evening, and there's lots of birds tweeting in the background and lots of activity going on. It just makes you really appreciate what it's like having a garden. I'm going to take a seat at my little seat that I have here. And as it's National Gardening Week, something I'm going to do every evening, just come out in the garden, 10 minutes, sit and have a look. Makes a big difference. You can see so much more of what is going on. Now, I've noticed that actually out in the garden, it's become incredibly easy to look after over the last few weeks. I've spent a lot of time trying to tidy up down on the allotment, removing weeds, etc., etc. Whereas here at home, I haven't had to do much weeding. Now, there's one very good reason, I think, for this. A few weeks ago, I took apart all the straw bales I had for last year's straw bale garden, and I used that straw as a mulch on all my beds. And because of that, we haven't had many weeds. There's a couple popping up I'm just noticing right now. That's generally where the mulch isn't as thick as it could be. But on the whole, it has been a massive success. I'm quite impressed. And this is, for me, proven that using straw as a mulch can be a good thing in the future. It's not exactly the cheapest thing to use as a mulch. Ideally, we would like to use compost, and that is one of the things we're trying to produce more of this year, as I've said. But on a whole, just having this straw mulch is looking so much better. Now, last week I celebrated my birthday. It was a lovely day, as I'm sure you can imagine. One of the things that my wife got me as a present, well, actually it came from my dog, but basically from my wife, is a brand new Dutch hoe. Now, a Dutch hoe, if you don't know what a Dutch hoe is basically the standard type of hoe that most people have. Long handle with a triangular metal end that flattens out to a flat blade you use to run through and chop off any weeds at the roots. I've had my old hoe probably 20 years. It's a very, very old hoe. The handle, although I treat it regularly, I think, well, it snapped. It snapped during the winter. It wasn't too bad, but I could probably fix it if I replaced the handle. But my wife sort of said to me, you've had it for so long, why not get a decent brand new hoe? And that's what she kindly brought for me as a Christmas present. Now, this hoe that I've actually got, it comes from Kent and Stowe. It was available in a garden centre. It's got a longer handle. And this, for me, was one of the reasons that I thought it made sense to get a new hoe. My old hoe, I discovered when I was using it for long periods of time, I was starting to get a backache. And that's probably because, although it's a standard length hoe, I'm not exactly tall. I'm 6 foot tall, so I'm probably an average height. But I did find myself bending over when using a hoe, especially with my beds being probably bigger than most people's. So with a longer handle, what this means is that I'm bending over less, although I haven't really tested it out just yet, but I'm bending over less and able to reach further into the bed. So I'm quite happy with this new gift, and I think it's going to give me many, many years of good use. As long as I keep it sharp and look after it, keep it rust-free, I think it won't be a problem. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we get on with it in the future. Now, I think it's only right, as I did with the allotment earlier, that I share with you a few things from what's going on here at home. And I'm looking out across my garden here. I'm underneath the grape area where I've got grape tied to a trellis behind me on my composting seat. We've got plenty of celery to my right, which has grown from last year. It's still in perfectly good, healthy look. We'll have to eat some of that soon, but it is growing. It's good 2 foot tall. It is fantastic. To my left, we got some chard, which has also grown really, really well. The grapevines I spoke of earlier behind me, they are budding as well. Just in front of me, I've got some onions and garlic, which I've got to say are looking better than what we have down on the allotment. And again, I think that's down to this straw mulch. And then we've got some more chard, which is looking really, really healthy, nice and thick, and again, growing really, really well. Beyond that, we've got some more onions. Bed behind that was the brassica bed. We did plant out some cabbages and cauliflower, but Roxy, last week, got a bit excited. She decided to jump in there and have a bit of a roll around, and I think she has lost all my cabbages and cauliflowers. To be fair, they were struggling because of various slugs and snails and other pests such as pigeons, so they were having a bit of a hard time of it, and we'll soon replace those. It's not too much of a problem. We've got fennel growing in another bed, which isn't one of my favourites, I've got to admit. We grew it last year, and we're just leaving it to see how well it gets on. And then in the fourth bed, the pea bed. We've had problems with peas where they get in eaten by slugs and snails, possibly even pigeons as well. So I've sowed a second row of those, and we'll just try and make sure that we treat those as quick as possible and see how those peas get on. The newer beds down towards the bottom, again, they're doing okay. We've got nothing growing in them in just yet. We're just waiting over the next couple of weeks to start getting plants planted out. In the greenhouse, we've mulched the beds in there with a good compost. It came from Heart of Eden again. We've planted out some tomatoes, which are growing up some strings. We've planted out cucumbers and various things like that, which are all doing fantastic in there. We've obviously got our strawberries and hanging baskets. They're doing well. They're starting to flower and even produce fruit. So things are definitely going good in the greenhouse. The chickens, they're doing fantastic. We're getting 3 eggs every single day, plus all the compost and manure that they produce as well. So they're doing really, really well. Not much more I can say on them. They've all settled in. They are all producing well. Out the front are fruit trees and bushes. There's lots of them out there. They are all growing well. They're in bud. They're not producing anything just yet, but we don't expect them to either. And then in my veggie pods, of course, I spoke about that a few weeks ago, so I won't go too much into detail, but a lot of food growing in that. But basically everything here at the moment, we're doing well. We're just on that cusp of getting things ready to plant. Right, I'm going to head on indoors and meet you back in the podding shed. In the meantime, let's find out what Chef Scott has got for us this week.
Hi, it's Scott here with this week's recipe. And this week I have a salad dressing called Green Goddess that I think everyone that grows their own should know how to make. Not only because it tastes great, but because it's made using lots of the herbs we grow. And it takes homegrown salads to the next level. You can use any soft herb you like, but I use parsley, chives and tarragon here because I used it to make a poached chicken salad that you can see over on my Instagram. And I love chicken and tarragon together. But you could use basil, for example, if you were to make a tomato-based salad with it. It can also be used as a dip if you add less water when making it. It really is an adaptable, fresh and vibrant dressing that goes with everything. So, let's head over to the kitchen and hear how it's made. As usual, you can find this recipe and others on the veggrowerpodcast.co.uk or on my Instagram page, seed to table plot 13, along with a supporting video. For this recipe, you will need 2 anchovy fillets, 1 peeled clove of garlic, 150 grams of mayonnaise, 180 grams of sour cream, 30 grams of parsley, 20 grams of tarragon, 10 grams of chives, 20 grams of capers, the zest and juice of one lime, 1 teaspoon of cider vinegar, and 50 to 100 millilitres of water, depending on the thickness you want. Method. This couldn't be simpler. Just add all the ingredients to a jug and blend with a stick blender until smooth, or blitz together in a food processor until smooth, and then pop into jars and store in the fridge, ready for use. And that's it from me this week.
Well, I'm here in the podding shed this evening, and I thought we're going to finish off this week with a few suggestions of ways that you might want to celebrate National Gardening Week. Now, I say suggestions. This is what I'm going to be doing to celebrate National Gardening Week. And if you follow the same or you come up with any other suggestions, please do share them on social media and don't forget to tag me in it. I, for one, am looking forward to this because I quite like the idea of encouraging more people to garden and enjoy their gardens. This is the thing that the RHS that set up National Gardening Week for, to encourage more people to enjoy their gardens and to inspire more people to garden as well. And it's something that we all do, isn't it? As gardeners, we all enjoy our garden. We all want to inspire more people to garden. Now, one of the things that I'm going to be doing is just every night sit in my garden, 10 minutes every night, just after sunset, when it's still light, but it's just calming down. It's a certain sense of calm around this time. Birds are going to be tweeting in the background. I'm going to be sitting out there with a cup of coffee and just enjoying being in my garden. It's one of the most important things I think we have to do, is just enjoy being in our garden. That's why so many designs of garden work around where you're going to sit in the garden. That's just one thing that we could all do. Now, obviously, that I know somebody in particular I'm thinking of, and I'm sure there are many other people that fall into this category, who the person I'm thinking of is a long-distance lorry driver, so she is unable to be at her allotment or her garden on a daily basis. So if you fall into that category and you're unable to be in a garden or allotment on a daily basis, wherever you might be in the world, I'm sure there is going to be somewhere nearby. It could just be a grass verge or a council-run garden, anything like that. Just go there for 10 minutes every day and enjoy it. Don't forget to share it on social media as well. Now, one of the other things that I'm going to be doing is taking some softwood cuttings. Now, I often do take softwood cuttings in order to try and get more plants. And softwood cuttings is just a really easy way of propagating some more perennials or judicious shrubs. I do this a lot with things like rosemary, sage, thyme, but also apple trees. I've done it before in the past, blackberry bushes and so on. Lots of different ideas of things that we can take softwood cuttings. Now, softwood cuttings are usually taken between spring and early summer, and it is basically the fresh growth that we're going to be cutting off some of our plants. Not all of it, just enough to take a few cuttings. And when I say fresh growth, what I mean is rosemary is a great example. If you look at a rosemary plant, you will see the older branches are a bit woody, not particularly thick, but woody, whereas the fresh new growth, the growth that has just sprung into life this year, looks green, it looks fresh, it looks new. We want to cut about 10 centimetres of that fresh new growth, and we're going to keep hold of that 10 centimetres because that's what we're going to use to propagate more plants. Now, I usually try and do this early in the morning because it's much easier to get them to root. And I would usually then take that cut in and go straight into my greenhouse and pot it into the soil. We'll get into that in just a moment. However, if you are just taking a cut in, you may not be at home. You may be down on your allotment or somewhere else around a friend's or something. If you're unable to get it into the soil straight away, what you want to do is just put it into a clean plastic bag with a label, of course, and store it into a fridge. Now, there are a lot of ways of making softwood cuttings complicated. There's a lot of talk about using a sharp knife trimmed below the node to make a cut in. Personally, I try and keep it simple. So I take a nice sharp pair of secateurs and I cut just below where a lower leaf is. Just below a leaf. That is what we're looking for. I then remove about half of the leaves off that cutting. And I usually then dip it into some rutin powder. Now, this rutin powder is organic. It's easy to come by. It's pretty cheap. You just dip it in. It coats the cutting and where the leaves were in this powder, and it encourages roots to form. I then take that cutting and I stick it into some seed and cutting compost, usually my root trainers, because they're set up in my greenhouse and they're pretty good for it. And then we want to pot a lid over the top of the root trainers, or a bag over the pot, whatever you may be using, just to try and keep some moisture in that soil so that it should hopefully encourage plenty of roots to grow. Now, it's very important that you don't try tugging out the cuttings to see if root is taken. Just keep the compost moist and I'm pretty sure that they will take. Keep them warm, of course, between 18 to 24, depending on what the plants are. And in a greenhouse, to be honest, we are getting that sort of temperature, so it should be fine. Just ensure the compost is moist. Now, how will you know if the roots have taken if you don't pull it out? Well, it's quite simple. If you start to see that the plants have started to grow, that's a good sign. And when they start to grow, put them up into something a bit bigger and they should continue to grow. They probably won't produce anything this year, but in coming years, they should produce some good plants. As I said, it's a great way of just being able to get some more plants. And I think that is something that we could all do. Now, if you do have any other projects or anything like that that you're going to be doing to celebrate National Gardening Week, as I said, please share with me. You can tell me on social media, just tag me. I'm usually under the Veg Grower Pod on most social media platforms. You can get in touch by email, richard@theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. You can leave a comment on the bottom of a blog post at theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk, or you can leave a voicemail as well at theveggrowerpodcast.co.uk. And that's always good to get some voicemails. If you've enjoyed this podcast, then please do rate and review on your podcast provider. And also, if you've also enjoyed this podcast and you want to help support the work that we do, please consider becoming a member of our supporters club. We will be back again next time. So until then, please take care.